Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Synergy, it's a fun word to say. Well, what is it? What does it mean? Well, if you look up Webster's Dictionary, it'll say to synergize means to combine or coordinate the activity of two or more agents to produce a joint effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. Yeah, what does that mean? Okay, so it's fun to say, it's fun to read, but stop and think about it. What does it mean? It means that when we come together, we empower each other. We become more when we synchronize, we synergize. That means we can do exponentially more. No, we don't add to each other. Let's say we were numbers. I'm a three, my daughter's a seven. We don't become 10 when we get together. Heck, we don't even become 21. We empower each other. Think of it exponentially. What's 7 to the 3rd power? That's 343. Well, what's 3 to the 7th power? That's 2187. Okay, now let's just think about that for a minute. If we have the ability to empower each other to become exponentially more, we can do it in a positive way or a negative way. Okay, now that's a sobering thought. When you ask yourself, after people come with me to be with me, to me, for me, around me, do I empower them to improve the quality of their being? Because there is no neutral energy. You are either positive or you're negative. So ask yourself, when people are done being with you, are they positive or negative? Are they better or worse? Because think about that. If you can empower people to be more, that can be in a good way or a bad way. Now, that power comes with responsibility. Who do you believe you are responsible to? You know what? The world we live in, the whole independent, me first, I have rights. Okay, but who are your responsibilities really to? I think about it, accountability. Who are you accountable to? Do you care about the consequences of your actions? Okay, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, here I'm going to tell you, I was born and raised in the United States. The first time I went to a mental health expert professional, I believe I was 6 years old. Some pretty scary stuff was going on in my family with my mom's father. And I went to a therapist, a counselor, a psychologist. I don't even know what it was. All I know is it was a really scary person sitting in a chair looking at me like I had done something wrong. And I'm like, what are you looking at me that way for? And they were asking me questions and then being very quiet. And I said, okay, yeah, I didn't do anything wrong. Are you mad at me? And then they would ask me questions and I would answer questions and they wouldn't really answer my questions. So I said, I don't really like this whole dynamic here. I said, Mommy, I don't like this lady. You got to take me somewhere else. Well, I found out 2 years after going through probably three or four different ones, she had actually sent me because she was having a hard time with me. She was basically telling them, fix my daughter. Tell me what's wrong with my daughter. You know what? There was nothing wrong with me. I don't agree with the fact that in the United States, the mental health industry is about labeling what's wrong with you and it's making you feel bad about what's wrong. And it's never really answering any of your questions with specific, detailed information. I found out about 25 years ago there was this industry coaching. And I thought, wait a minute, you know, I had gone to many different counselors and therapists. I had even gone to the University of Washington. I'd studied psychology. I had read more books and books and books. And the more I read about the mental health and the mental illness and all the drugs that can mask the symptoms of the illness, but never really resolve any of the problems, you know what? I hated it more and more. And when I found out coaching, okay, yeah, what is it? I don't know. Well, you ask 10 different people, they'll tell you 10 different things. So I thought about it myself. You know what? What is a coach? A coach is someone who is standing on the sidelines and they're encouraging you and they're giving you the equipment and the strategy and they're helping you when you train, when you practice to get strong and develop that strategy and that endurance and strength and talent. Yeah, now see, I'm liking that. I'm liking the sound of that. So I said, yeah, I want to be a coach. I know a lot about the mental health industry and I disagree with about 80% of it, but I want to help people who are sad and depressed. Okay. So I'm gonna open up a practice. And yeah, people said, "Well, what's your niche?" I said, "I don't know. I just want to help people reach their goals." So I thought, "Now, I'm gonna come up with a game plan of how I teach people as a coach." If someone came to me and said, for example, how do you get to Los Angeles? Well, I want to give them directions about how to reach their goal, reach their destination. Okay, but there's a couple of things you need to know. Yeah, which part? It's kind of a big city. You need a very specific address. Well, where are you coming from? You need to know your starting place. Then you need to know if you're walking or driving or riding a bike. Whoa, wait a minute. That means five different people could want the same thing in life as a goal, but are they basketball or football? Are they soccer? Okay. So I took a step back a little bit and I said, I want to make sure that I help people understand really where they want to go in life and then appreciate and accept where they are. Okay. How can I help people define that and come to terms with it so that they can maybe at that point more clearly define where they want to go? And then how are they going to get there? You know what? That's their personality because I'm telling you, five different people can want to lose 20 pounds. Yeah, they may need to do it in different ways. Okay, so I became certified in personality profiling because I understand as I was raising my children that I began having 30 years ago, what works like magic for my oldest almost guaranteed failure for my daughter. Okay, so one day I just said, you know what? Forget this. I'm thinking about this way too much. I just want to help people succeed and I want to have fun while they're having fun. I'm not going to ask them why they're miserable and I'm not going to point out all of their weaknesses. I was standing in a coffee shop and a man said to me, hey, what kind of work do you do? I said, I'm a life coach. And I thought, oh, yeah, no, I should have a specialty. But it didn't occur to me to say that. And he said, what's a life coach? And I thought, well, I teach people how to score in the game of life by maximizing their abilities and giving them the equipment that they need, the tools. And he said, wow, so you're a psychologist. I said, no, I'm not a psychologist because I disagree with about three-fourths of everything in the mental health industry in this country. I am a coach, which means I give you answers and I don't sit there and focus on what's wrong with you. A coach is someone who keeps you on the field. A mental health expert is like a doctor who takes you off the field to fix you before they send you back. I keep you going in the game. And he said, wow, okay, so I like the sound of that. If you can tell me why I have a perfect life on paper, I said, what do you mean? He said, I come from a Mormon family. So they're like very, very ideal parents. And I know it's true. They have great family, they have a great community dynamic. He said, I have a great job. He was a district attorney in a major metropolis. He was very good looking. He knew how to manage money. He said, I don't have any problems, any real problems to complain about. If you can tell me why I have a perfect life and I'm not happy, you know what? I'll give you $100 an hour. And okay, now this was 22 years ago in Phoenix. That's a lot of money. I said, okay, great. So the first thing I did was I profiled his personality and I said, wow, you are a really smart district attorney. Okay, yeah, but you're an INTJ. You're an introverted intuitive. That means you're being brilliant, but you're being social. As an introvert, you should probably do your very, very insightful work alone and then just interact with people in a limited way in a certain setting for a certain amount of time, right? And then you'll be a lot happier. So he said, oh my gosh, you're right, because you've just explained to me everything that I love and everything that I hate and why I love it and why I hate it. And you've told me there's nothing wrong with me. Wow, I need to go tell about 200 people about you. That was 22 years ago. He ended up becoming a professor at a university, and my career took off. And yeah, I do. I love the fact that when I tell people what's right about them and how to maximize their gifts and talents and strengths and abilities instead of what's wrong and trying to change them and make them feel bad, they actually walk away from me feeling better. And that has made me very excited in the work that I do. And when most of my clients are from referral, it's also because when they're around me, they can feel my positive energy. And that's another thing that I always tell people. Positive is more powerful than negative. They don't necessarily agree with that because they see so much negativity in the world and it's overwhelming and it's discouraging and depressing. But when I tell people, if you truly believe that your positive energy is going to be more powerful than the negative energy around you, then your power will also facilitate others. And so I tell people, in addition to You need to keep your energy positive. There's no inertia. When you're interacting with people, you're either moving towards them or you're moving away from them, or you are synchronizing with them. That means you're moving with them. So that's another thing that I specialize. I teach people how to synchronize with people, actually get with people together in the same, not only intention of their destination, but the motivation that's your purpose. So if you understand people and you accept them, you appreciate them and you respect them and you trust them. So when people said to me, yeah, as a life coach, you teach people how to get a good job. Yes, you also teach them how to lose weight, which I did. And then you can teach them how to manage money because I teach them how to organize their time and their resources. But what it always came back down to was the relationships, the quality of their relationships. So that became my niche, my specialty, my area of expertise, because people looked at the way that I was with my children and it was really a good synergy that we had. Or my husband of 20, 25, now 30 years. And people said, wow, you guys are like boyfriend and girlfriend. You know what you're talking about because I can see you demonstrate it in the way that you live your life. So I trust you now to be qualified, right, to give me the advice. And so when I see people as a coach, I only see them for the time that, yeah, they need to learn the information. I give them very specific information. But you know what? People don't always have the money to afford someone like me. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get a radio show. And people all over the world who want my advice, they want my expertise, they really want the details and the secrets of how to be successful in life, but they can't afford me. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have a call-in show, a radio show where people can ask me anything about life, but pretty much it's about relationships because no matter what problem people are having, it usually comes down to synchronizing with the people in their life to really synergize to make each other more powerful, more successful, more fulfilled, and more gratified in the things that they do because the quality of what they're doing is better. So, in a couple minutes, I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. I just want everyone to know that yes, my colleagues and my connections who know that a lot of what I teach is very spiritual, and I am a Bible student and I do missionary work. Please don't ask me any Bible questions on this show. It's going to be mostly about the personality stuff that you can't really find in the Bible. If you ever wanted to do that, there are a lot of websites you can go to. I'm going to answer all of the questions. If you want to pose a question, let's see. My computer and I do not like technology. You can go ahead and send a question to the email of thepowerofsynergylisteners@gmail.com, or you can call into this station at 888-627-6008. Okay, so do you have any specific questions? My producer, Tom, will go ahead and answer the phone and he'll let me know if, let me see. When we're talking about something, I kind of answer your question. I'm only going to have about 45 minutes, so you know what? I don't really know, Tom. I just have to give a massive shout out to my former producer, Don, and his brother, Doug, before I get started, because they've been absolutely amazing to me. They own the radio station. Doug, he redid my page for me, and Don, he's actually produced commercials for me for my book. And I love you guys both. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not just a podcast. BBS Radio is the way to go. So thank you so much for being amazing. And we'll see how my new show in a new day and time with a new producer goes. Here we go. No worries, Don is currently off this with me right now. Yes, I just love Don so much. And my husband says, honey, you need to calm down because people can see how excited you are. But you know what? Again, that begs the question, is there a such thing as too much good? Okay, so I will go ahead and refresh my email address. And I don't know, this is kind of a good thing, but kind of a bad one at the same time. I don't like technology. I'm kind of in a bad area, so just go ahead and give me a second to refresh the email. I don't see anything yet. Okay. So when I teach people about relationships, there are principles, there are dynamics, but you know what? As humans, we are very different. Some things are the same because as humans, we have things in common. But you know what? There are also things that are very different. And that's important because the strengths for one person are actually weaknesses for someone else. Well, then let's reverse that. Let's actually say that maybe someone's weakness could be someone else's strength. So, hey, now let's approach people. Let's approach each other with the philosophy of I like you, and there are things that I don't like about you, but let's maximize the good because then that puts your attitude in a good place. And again, since there's no neutral energy, there are ways that you can just, if you're starting to feel like you're getting very destructive to yourself or to the people around you, you can say, I need to put myself in a better quality state, right? And if you say that to people, if you're honest with them, a lot of times their response will be, take your time, or hey, what can I do to facilitate that happening? Wow, they're actually very grateful when you are honest with them. So when I teach people, let's solve a problem. If you're coming to me with a problem, then let's figure out again what specifically is the problem. And then we can clearly identify the solution. Okay, so when I talk about pretty much anything to my clients, I like to use acronyms because they help people remember the main topics of the points that they need to remember. One of the acronyms that I like is TIPS. I give people tips because you need to know the topic, the issue, the problem, and then the solution. If you know the topic, you can identify the issue, which is the source of the problem, and then you'll know the solution because five different people could come again to me with the five completely or the exact same problem, but need completely different solutions based on a couple different variables. So when we're talking about a conflict that people are having, the topic is the effect. The topic is just what are the circumstances of the situation right now, all of the different elements and variables. Because when we're talking about humans, the human factors, the human variables, there are a lot of elements. And sometimes it's just identifying what's going on in the situation, but that's not really why you've reached an impasse because people want to get together. They really do want to work together, but something is getting in the way. So the topic, let's look at the issue of what is it in that situation that's creating a struggle between you two. The issue is the cause of the effect. And once people can say, oh, look, what's going on right now isn't even really the actual problem. It's just one of the elements that was produced by something a little bit deeper. But then I'd have people go all the way down to the, well, but what's the source of the cause of the effect? That's the actual problem that created an issue that people are addressing a topic. Okay, now what I tell people, it's usually one of three things. You're either off center, or you are doing a function that is not natural for your personality, or you have a separate struggle that the situation or the people or items, elements in it is tr they're triggering. It. And that's really something that you need to take a step back and address and resolve for yourself. And so when you tell people, look, I need to see, first of all, is it that I'm off center? Do I just need to take a time out and remove myself from the situation and get myself into a high quality state? Or is it because of my personality? I'm just going to be really bad at this. So whenever I'm doing something bad that's not good for my personality, I have one of two options. I can either say to the people around me, look, this is tough for me. So you're going to need to be very, very patient with me. And I appreciate your patience. Then you're creating that positive energy. Wow, you know what? People like that. And people are actually very patient and they're very willing to forgive when you're honest and direct with them. But sometimes, if it's something that has absolutely nothing to do with the situation, then you can say, okay, now I do need to take a much closer look away from this situation, away from the people in it, and say, what is it that has been brought up inside of me? And what's the best way to take care of it, not only for myself, but for the people who are involved? Okay, you know what? Usually, an issue, here's the bottom line, and this is the secret that I tell people. It's not easy, but it's usually simple. It's usually one of four things. They all start with an I, and that also helps people remember. Oftentimes, it's either ignorance, indifference, impotence, or incompetence. Wow, okay. So let's take a look at each of those. And okay, I'm going to actually tell people again, if you want to call in, the number to the station is 888-627-6008, or you can email me a question to thepowerofsynergylisteners@gmail.com. Okay, so if we're talking about ignorance, sometimes people just genuinely don't know what they need to know. So not only do they not have the information, but they don't know what information to ask for. Now, we live in an information age. We have it all over the place, all kinds of sources. Yeah, and it's a lot of garbage. So maybe a person just doesn't have accurate information. But you know what? A lot of times the second I is indifference. They genuinely don't truly care. Now, when they're honest with themselves and the people that they're involved with and say, yeah, I really don't care about this, that means they're not vested. You have to have the emotional energy and the mental focus to say, this is worth my time, so I'm going to put wholehearted effort into this. Okay, well, how about the other I is impotence. You know what? You know what you need to do, and you really and truly do want to do it, but there's something in your life that's taking away your personal power. Then you can get to the source of the who has my power right now, and how can I get it back? Or, you know what? Incompetence. You're just not good at what you need to do. So then you have a couple of options. You can either administer that, right? Outsource that. You can get that responsibility to someone else, or you can say, I'm going to learn, I'm going to get better at it, but I'm going to stop doing it right now because I can't do it well. Or again, you can say to people, I really do need you to be patient with me because I'm going to have to work twice as hard and I'm still only going to do half as well. So when you say to people, what would you like from me in this situation? I'm very incompetent in what I'm doing, but I still am very genuinely vested in making it high quality. And then you know what? The stress goes away because you can say, in all honesty, I know now what the problem is, and I have a good attitude, and I have a game plan of how to get from here to there. And I can have all of the people that want me to do this and that maybe even want to do it with me because, again, when you have good positive energy, one of two things are going to happen. You are either going to get other people's negative energy completely canceled out and they're going to join you, or they're going to try and make you negative and you're going to say, no, I'm actually doing really well. I like how I'm doing right now. And they're going to say, well, fine, then I'm going to find someone else to go be toxic with and around. And you know what? There are a lot of people who don't necessarily know that they're being that way. But if you keep your quality of being, that's your mind and your heart and your body, very high, it's very positive, it's very productive. That's one of the best gifts you can give the people in your life. And especially if you know that the results are going to be good not only for you, but for them, then when they come back, they will be grateful, which is what we're going to get into next, right? Appreciation and then respect and trust. ART. Synergy is an art. Yeah. Let's go ahead and make each other high quality, not only in what we do, but how we do it. Wow. Okay. Now, let me just say a little bit of something. When I started out about 22 years ago, my husband would come home from work and he'd say, I thought you had an appointment with your client today because I'd been seeing them for a good 6, 8 weeks, whatever. I said, oh, yeah, no, they don't need me anymore. I help them with their problem. And he said, honey, how are we ever going to get rich if you keep fixing people? You have to string them along. You have to spread it out and stretch it out. And I said, no, because if what they get is high quality and they can put it to good practical use, they will tell other people about me. And you know what? Referral, personal referral, because when people say this one is the genuine article and they're worth what you charge, the quality of your being has gone up and so has theirs. Okay, now again, the number if you want to call in is 888-627-6008, or you can email me a question at thepowerofsynergylisteners@gmail.com. Now, One of the things that I like to teach people, simply because, you know what, this is kind of my irritation. When I grew up in the Generation X, feminism was really taking off. Feminist women were very, very degrading to men, and they would raise me and my cousins and my classmates with the mindset of men are the enemy. They are not to be trusted. You can't really respect them, and we don't really appreciate them. Well, those are the three things that we need as humans from the people in our life. We can't synchronize and we can't synergize in a positive way if we don't appreciate or respect or trust them. So one of the things that I like about a movie, let's see, I think it was called As Good as It Gets. Jack Nicholson actually said to Helen Hunt's character, "You make me want to be a better man." Ooh, that was good. Do you encourage people to be better quality? Men and women can have a very, very good impact on each other. But one of my favorite scriptures is in Proverbs. It's about actually how it's better for a man to sleep alone on the corner of a roof than in bed with a woman who wants to fight. You know what? We can be together and we don't have to fight over things because it's not about a power struggle. I like to use also analogies, right? Illustrations, metaphors. When I think about it, men and women competing with each other, we need to stop competing. We actually need to, again, work together. But men are not women and women are not men. So we have to stop comparing ourselves to each other and proving that we're equal. First of all, because you can't quantify your value. But then I use it in terms of like a body, that women are hands and men are feet. Well, okay. So let's just pose this question here. What's more important, your hands or your feet? Ooh, okay. Well, they have nothing in common. You need them both. Yeah, you know what? We need men and women. Well, another one of my favorite movies is Dead Poets Society. Robin Williams was talking to his students, his boys. It was an all-boys school. And he said that math and science and the technologies, we didn't have technology. I can't remember what it was, but it was the engineering and all of the logistic things in life. Yeah, those are very necessary to sustain life, but music and art and poetry, those are the things we live for. Yeah, women, we're part of that. Some things are to provide and sustain life, other things are what we live for. And so I use as body parts, men are like feet. They provide, they protect, and they procreate. They provide in that, like walking. They protect like running, and they procreate like standing to create stability. They're not very impressive things, but they're pretty important because they carry the weight of the whole body. Hands, they scratch, they massage, they grip, they tickle, they squeeze. They can do all kinds of things. They're very useful, very multitasking. You're not going to die if you don't do those things. Yeah, if you can't stand up, then you're probably going to get hurt in some way and you're going to die. The feet are very important, but the hands provide things like labor, management, administration, support to all of the things going on. We are the ones doing a lot of the menial tasks. And so men oftentimes can say, "Why are you making everything so complicated? Our existence is complex." Yeah, men, they provide, they protect, and they procreate. Okay, yes, we would not survive without you. That's true. But men want to be needed. Women need to be wanted because all of the things that we provide to the world, to men, to each other, enhance the value of life. Hands are not feet, and they shouldn't try to be. Feet are not hands, and they shouldn't try to be. When we appreciate and respect and trust each other, it's not only about our abilities, but it's our intentions and our motivations. That's how we can synchronize, to synergize in a positive way, to empower people, making the world a better place. Okay, so if you have any questions that you want to ask a coach, because clearly I'm not anything like a counselor or a psychologist, 888-627-6008. Okay, so, or the power of synergy listeners at gmail.com. So let me go ahead and refresh that. Okay, don't see anything. Okay, great. So then let's go back here. And in fact, one of the things that I want to share is a joke that my son actually told me about. It's called the computer's gender. The Spanish teacher was explaining one day that in Spanish, you actually have to use a feminine or a masculine article. In English, all we have is the. In Spanish, it's either el or la. And so one of the students, it was an adult class, and one of the women raised her hand and she said, "Is it el computador or la computadora?" And the teacher just decided, we're going to have some fun here. She said, "Let's make it a game. Do you think it's more like a man or a woman?" And she said, "You know what? I withdraw the question. Never mind." She said, "No, you know what? In fact, we're going to break this up. Men over here, women over there, talk it out and tell me if you think this lovely machine here is male or female." And the men started whispering to each other and they got pen and paper and were laughing and whispering and writing down stuff. And she said, "What are you doing?" "What are you doing?" And they said, "Man, we've already come up with four reasons why this thing practically has breasts." And she said, Okay, four, that's good. Why don't you go ahead and read it to me?" She was starting to get nervous. And they said, "Okay, number one, first of all, only their creator understands their logic. Number two, they speak a language only they interpret. Number three, they store every mistake you ever make in long-term memory for future retrieval. And finally, maybe the most important, half your paycheck goes to their accessories." And her face got kind of pale. And she said, "Ladies, I'm drowning here. Save me." And they said, No, this thing's a guy, and we'll tell you why. We got four reasons too. Number one, they won't do anything for you until you turn them on. Number two, you can give them information all day long. They're never going to think for themselves. Number three, they claim to solve all of your problems, but you know what? In real life, they usually are the problem. And most importantly, now, if you had just waited 6 months, you could have had a better one." Okay, so you know what, ladies and gentlemen, let's think about this now. When it comes to synergy, when we get together with each other as men and women, are we suspicious and judgmental and defensive? Are we scared of each other? Or do we appreciate and respect and trust our differences, our gifts and talents and strengths and abilities? How often does our technology undermine that connection? Yeah, something of an oxymoron. Social media, it makes us very antisocial. Yes, it's a venue that we can come together, but we never truly connect. So, what are your motivations? What are your intentions when you're getting together with people? Are you willing to physically be with them, to look at them and use your voice, listen to them when they talk, to communicate with them? Then you are more able to topic, issue, problem, solution. You can actually have effective communication to the point of resolution of the problems that you both understand and that you agree to cooperating when you have that synchronicity. Well, appreciation, what is that? What does that mean? Because you know what? We can say that word and it doesn't necessarily mean anything specific. Appreciation is genuinely valuing something and being grateful for it. Ask yourself, after you've interacted with someone, do you appreciate them in the sense that you're grateful for them because you truly value what they bring into your life and the world? How about respect? That's about dignity and honorable behavior because you see them as something valuable that, again, you appreciate, but it's about the way you genuinely feel that they deserve to be treated with consideration and exceptional behavioral standards. And then trust. What is trust? You know what it is? It's about surrendering to them and saying, "You know what? I believe good things about you, not only that you have the ability to do it, but you also want to do it. And so I'm giving you power now in my life to show me that, yeah, you're a good person." So, one of the questions that I ask people for my show, I say,
Do you respect people that you don't trust? Because I want to know how people define those words, respect and trust. It really reveals a lot because if they say, yes, I respect people that I don't trust, it's because they don't trust people very easily. Trust is something that a person has to earn, but respect is something that they give someone when they first meet them because they believe that every human deserves respect. But if they say, no, why would I respect them if I don't trust them? Because they still believe that trust is something they will give people as a personal gift before they withhold that from them. Because obviously, if they don't trust a person, they must have done something that's very toxic or destructive or harmful, that by definition means they are not respectable. They're not trustworthy. That means they're not respectable. But then, well, okay. If you respect, is it more of a behavior or is it more of a feeling? Well, obviously it's both. Yes, but which one, in your opinion, is it more? Is it more about the way you feel about someone or the way that you treat them? Because sometimes, you know what? We don't have good feelings inside of ourselves for people, but we can still behave in a good way. Yeah, that's really important to remember. If we have that attitude and that belief system of if you're not making the situation better, you are by definition making it worse, then say to yourself, yeah, I'm going to make it better for that person and for me, because then when we reunite and we synergize again, that's going to be very important for both of us, because not only are we doing something more constructive together, but when we leave, we are both going to be better for the world around us and the people that will come into our lives after we've gone. Okay, so again, the number, if you want to call in, it's 888-627-6008. Okay, so when I tell people, you do have to take care of yourself. You have to do things that are good for you. Unfortunately, again, I think it really took off in my generation, the me first generation. One of the illustrations that therapists and doctors liked to use was the put the mask on yourself first. Okay. Do you actually believe that if the plane was going down, it was an emergency situation and someone could die, that it's more important to give yourself the oxygen supply before you help anybody else? Well, you know what? That seemed kind of counterintuitive. If there was a child, that was the example they used. If there was a small child, well, obviously they need the oxygen more than we do. Take care of them. It's selfish to put the mask on yourself first. Well, no, because that way you're still alive. So you have to be able to modify your perspective and say, I am worth taking care of, because when I'm taken care of, I am better quality for the people around me. Ah, okay. Well, unfortunately, it ended up becoming extreme to the point of, yeah, I'm more important than you. That's not what it meant. Or the time that people would do something to take care of themselves, they never quite got back around to taking care of other people. And so I say, one of the examples I use, because we have in our home, four different people liking four different kinds of soda. Well, you know what? If you're going to take someone else's soda, and out of the refrigerator, because we buy them in like 5, 12 packs, we buy them 60 cans at a time. For every one that you take out, put two back in. See, yeah, you can take someone else's, but just give them the favor of the mindset of I'm going to give more than I take. That's how you know you are in a healthy generosity attitude that's going to make the way that you approach life more positive and constructive and beneficial to the people around you. Yeah. So ask yourself, when I take care of myself, when I give something to myself, is it for the purpose of providing twice as much to the people that I am basically saying no to, or me first to? And I used to tell my kids all the time when they were little, you know what? I understand you want me to do something with you or to you or for you, but I need to take care of daddy right now. And they knew that that meant taking care of me too. Okay. And, but they might not have liked it at first, but they knew that when I was done being with my husband, when we came back, we were exponentially better, not only in quantity, but in quality for them. And so sometimes they would even say to me, "Mom, you really need to go take care of Daddy right now. We like it when you're done taking care of him, because he's better for us." Yeah. So when I tell people advice, I give them very specific advice of find out what the actual source of the problem is. You know what? If it's just a matter of you're off center, take a step back and say, "Yeah, I'm going to get myself recentered because I know that by the time I'm done, I will be better for to make up for whatever it is that I just took away from the people who needed me in the moment, and I'm becoming high quality." Okay, now one of the other questions that I like to ask people is, what's the difference between centered and balanced? Now, I took ballet for 12 years, and whenever we were in a group and we were dancing in sync with each other, if one of us became off center, we literally had to leave the group and get recentered. She didn't say, "You need to find your balance." Well, what's the difference between being balanced and being centered? You know what? The difference is when you're centered, it means you have your weight completely placed, based at the core. Now, a girl's body changes every single day through puberty, through adolescence. You had to know where your core was, and then you had to put the pressure of your entire body weight into that core. So that meant that if you were on the tippy toe top of your point shoe and your head was 4 feet, maybe 5 feet, depending on how tall you were, the top of your head had to be in the exact same place as the tip of your toe. That meant that your chest and your hips also needed to be along that same alignment. Whoa, that meant you had to be very aware of where your weight was. That meant you had to get your mind and your body in sync. Yeah, okay. So there were times when we would get out of the group and we would spend, some girls would have to spend 5 minutes literally getting back on their feet and then just getting up onto the ball of their foot so that they could make sure that their weight stayed centered. And then they could get up on the tip top of their toes on their point shoes. You know what? Ladies and gentlemen, that's about being conscientious. You got to know where you are and what's going on inside of you. So if you want to ask me a question, I'm going to go ahead and let you call in again. This will be the last time for the hour, 888-627-6008. So sometimes you don't know how to take care of yourself. That's the actual problem. Yeah, you know what? There are different things, different challenges. You could be lonely. You could be unmotivated. You could have negative thoughts. You could lose your focus. You could just have low energy. But one of the things that I notice people have a problem with the most probably is they're managing negative reaction emotions. Anxiety and fear and anger, those are not bad things. Those are actually very good things. We just need to use them as tools instead of weapons. Okay, so when you think about anxiety is just our body's way of saying, "Hey, whisper, whisper, something bad could potentially happen. I'm giving you a little bit of a heads up. So I'm going to create some biochemical reactions in you to get your attention." Okay, well, we don't like that. Sometimes we're reacting more to the experience, the physical experience of that emotion, to the point where we lose our ability to see the situation. Well, what's fear? Fear is our body's way of turning up, cranking up that intensity to say, actually, it's not something could happen. Now something is happening and you need to take care of it right now. So it's a little bit more intense. And it can be overwhelming and frustrating simply because the intensity has increased. Okay, well, how about the anger? The anger is our body's way of saying, "All right, you know what? You did not take care of the situation. A disaster has occurred. It has transpired, and now the situation is getting, it's continuing to get worse because you didn't solve the problem when it was just a potential or in the process of occurring. Now you have to deal with it." So anger is often one of the most intense reactions that people have. And since they don't know how to manage the physiological response, they never really get around to resolving the issue. Not the topic, not the problem that they're thinking. It's the issue. It's the source of what created the situation. So being able to differentiate between the topic and the issue and the problem is the key. But when they don't see their emotions as a good potential tool that they can use in a practical way, it can inhibit the progress that they could very easily make. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? It's really about your personality. When you have a lack of motivation, you can create milestones and rewards. When you're feeling lonely, have a support system. When your negative thinking is stopping you from making progress, know what affirmations to give yourself. Or when you know what, you just need a shot in the arm, you need to have certain activities that will give you that additional energy. Okay, so then I'm going to go real quickly through how everything that I say to my clients is about their personality, and that's the distinct difference. You know what? In psychology and therapy and counseling, a certain behavior means one thing. You know what? No, it doesn't. My three children, I raised them in completely different ways. When one child said or did something, you know what? In a certain circumstance or setting, I'd say, wow, good job. The exact same behavior in another child was a huge red flag. So let me go ahead and just pose some general questions. A lot of people have heard of Myers-Briggs, but they're not real familiar with it. So there are four dichotomies, and I'll just give you a couple of questions to ask yourself. This isn't the full formal test, but you'll know what is the most natural for you as your first response, not what you consistently do currently in your life. But if people were to leave you alone and let you do what's easy, what's comfortable, and what's natural for you, what would your answer be? Sometimes I have to literally tell people, imagine yourself on a stranded island and everybody left you alone just to be who you truly are. The first thing I like to ask about whether you're an introvert or extrovert, who do you call your friend? You know what? I'm an introvert, and I like about 2,000 people that I've met in congregations and colleagues and education systems. I only have five friends. You know what? Because as an introvert, friendship is profound and it's intimate. My husband is an extrovert. You know what? He met someone at the store. They got along. Of course, they're friends. They got along. Second question about that is when someone is talking, do you let them finish because you hope that they will also remain silent while you are talking? Then you're probably an introvert. If you know what? You're going to interrupt each other. It's not a question of if, it's just a matter of when. So it doesn't really upset you because, again, it's an inevitability. Then you're probably an extrovert. The second letter of your personality, do you, okay, the letters are S and N. Now keep in mind that it's an N because that I went to introvert. The letter N represents the word intuitive. So, yeah, it starts with an I, but the letter designated to intuitive is N. You're either sensory or intuitive. So, one of the questions I like to ask people about that is how easily do you get lost? You know what? Intuitives get lost in their backyard. Sensors have an amazing sense of direction. The other question I like to ask about that is if you're looking at a food that's new to your plate and it looks kind of scary and it probably tastes really bad, how eager are you to try it? Sensors like stimulation. You know what? Intuitives, not so much. They know what they like and they're fine sticking to what they're like. But you know what? Sensors even think any kind of stimulation, if it's in a bad way, it's still a good experience. The third letter of your personality is how you make decisions. You're either a thinker or a feeler. Now, a lot of people, they don't want to commit to one or the other. They say, I'm both. No, you do both. Thinkers are not always smart, and feelers are not overly emotional. Thinker means that when you make decisions, it's based on academic, logic, consistent, intelligent information. If you're a feeler, it's about generous, thoughtful, caring, consideration of other people's needs. Okay, so one of the questions I ask people is if you know that you have to give someone bad news and they are not going to like it, how much does it hurt your heart to be the one to convey that information? A feeler would say, I don't want to, all whatever it is, I don't want them to have to deal with that kind of pain. A thinker would say, you know what? In life, you're going to get hurt. That's just part of life. Deal with it and get over it. The other question I ask people is, if you had to make a decision and you knew that there were people who had very specific needs, But it didn't really make sense to do that. It was kind of going to hurt the situation. How willing would you be to put their feelings on a higher level of priority? Well, and feeler would say, yeah, that's what matters in life. A thinker would say, no, you have to do the logical and rational thing because whatever I'm saving you from right now, it's going to be exponentially worse later. Okay, and the last letter is P or J, perceiver or judger. And that's how you carry out your decisions. And this is actually one of my favorites because my daughter is a judger and I'm a perceiver, and we couldn't be more opposite. One of my favorite questions is, do you like to make lists of things to do? And if you've done things that are not on your list, do you write them down just to scratch them off? Okay. Because judgers get excited when they are done with something, they feel a sense of accomplishment. Perceivers can write lists all day long, but you know what? They're going to lose the list probably 14 times before the day is over. And when they have finished something, you know what? They need to start something. They get more excited at the beginning than at the end. And then the other question I ask is, would you rather be 55 minutes early to an appointment or 2 minutes late? A perceiver says, well, I'm not officially late if it hasn't started yet. Yeah, no, a judger would say, I need to be safe. I need to be more safe than sorry. If I'm even 2 minutes late, I feel like I have been very socially irresponsible. Now, you can mix up those four dichotomies. So there's a total of eight letters. It can actually be 16 different personalities. Let's look at people in our lives as the potential to be amazing things. Whatever you are not, you know what? Because your personality, you're going to have strengths, you're going to have weaknesses. Find out what your strengths are, and then find out what other people's strengths are, and know that they are the resources in your life that you can synchronize with, to synergize with. And then when you actually have something in your life that's a challenge for you, you can create that power by uniting with people, maximizing their strengths and talents and gifts and abilities, and offering them that same service and saying, you know what? When we come together, our positive energy makes us better people. And when we are successful, we are facilitating others to do that as well. There is no neutral energy and there's no inertia. You're either moving towards someone, away from them, or with someone. And you are either positive or negative. If you are neutral, some people would call indifference, that's actually negative. But remember, the positive will always conquer the negative. So if someone is indifferent, they genuinely don't care when they first come to you. If you have that positive energy, you will move them, you will motivate them, and inspire them to become a better version of who they were before they came to be with you. So my new website is www.life-synergy-coaching.com. And I'm going to be starting either symposiums or webinars or workshops, whichever ones the people express the most interest in. Basically, it's going to be the same information, just in those three potentially different formats. So if you want to let me know which format you prefer to have presentations delivered in, go ahead and email me to, again, thepowerofsynergylisteners@gmail.com. And if you want to ask me questions for the show and you can't listen live, a lot of people are going to be the archive listeners. Then please go ahead again and pose the questions to me at that Gmail address. Thank you so much for listening today, Thomas. I can't wait to work with you from now on. And to all of my listeners and my colleagues, especially on LinkedIn, I want to give a shout out to them. This is going to be really exciting in this new time slot. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is the Power of Synergy on BBS.